General Government, Ways and Means. Welcome this morning. The Legislative Fiscal Office is represented by Dallas Wyand, our scheduler and Legislative Fiscal Office representative. Gina Harrington is handling us as our assistant today. And I guess we can open this as a full committee with everyone present. Thank you very much, Senator. We're going to start a public hearing on House Bill 3023 relating to collection of monies owed to governmental agencies. And we have four folks signed up. Jessica Stevens, Ann Webb, and Francis Hernandez will be our number one first panel on it. SEIU 503. Now, we used to not use initials in this, but I tried to figure out over the weekend what SEIU all stood for.
We're the Service Employees International Union.
Service Employees International, okay.
Formerly OPEU, okay. Oregon Public Employees Union.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And my name is Jessica Stevens, and I'm a political organizer with our union.
Do you
want to
introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Francis Hernandez, and I am a revenue agent with the Oregon Department of Revenue, and directly affected by this bill.
I'm Ann Webb. I'm a corporate tax auditor for the Oregon Department of Revenue. I'm a constituent of Senator Winters.
Thank you, Ms. Webb. Thank you. If you ladies would like to go ahead and start off in that order, Jessica.
Great. SEIU Local 503, Oregon Public Employees Union, represents over 40,000 employees who provide public health care and human services that depend upon state funding. Of those, about 22,000 work directly for state agencies, including administrative services, revenue, employment, justice, and the Oregon University System. We therefore are very concerned about the effects House Bill 3023 would have on reducing the state's ability to collect revenue. Oregon state agencies have a significantly greater collection rate, while the revenue department averages 8% on other agency accounts and state agencies average 20% on their own accounts, private collection agencies average less than 2% on their collections of delinquent and liquidated accounts. For every $1 the state of Oregon spends on collection, there is a return of $12. It takes an investment of $2 in state money for private collection agencies to return $10. Poor collection rates by private collection agencies cost Oregon even more money. State agencies continue to monitor and track each of these accounts due to state liability and other legal requirements. When private collection agencies return the uncollected accounts, agency inventories are penalized with big increases in outstanding balances. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I have
Thank you, sir.
State resources continue to be dedicated to accounts under private collection agencies. In addition to the monitoring and tracking of accounts, state employees are regularly called upon to answer statutory and process questions. State agencies are better equipped to collect revenue, resulting in greater revenue return. State agencies possess abilities to deliver warrants, enact wage garnishments, access wage records, including new hires, and access skip search, which helps to locate assets. House Bill 3023 does not take best practices for revenue collection into account. The debt collection process begins with investigations, letters, and phone calls. It is between months 5 and 12 that most warrants are completed and garnishments shortly follow. House Bill 3023 would prevent our best opportunity for debt collection to even occur. The bill could interfere with offset collection programs that really do work. Currently, if a debtor would be entitled to a tax refund or a kicker check, the state could collect from that expected payment. A six-month limitation could eliminate that potential for a collection method. The state of Oregon is already held to a stricter timeline than private collection agencies. Under statute, agencies currently only have 1 year to collect on a debt, while private collection agencies are held to an undefined reasonable time. Business proposals generally declare a need for 6 to 24 months to complete a collection. There are many risks in contracting with private collection agencies for state collections. The use of private collection agencies for public debt collection creates risks of privacy violations and civil rights abuses. There are documented cases of abuses and misuse of private information around the country. Even in Oregon, collection agencies made the Attorney General's top 10 list of consumer complaints. And there is a better answer. While private contracts result in an efficient use sometimes of taxpayer dollars. The use of private collection agencies has not been proven to be more successful than state efforts. A better investment would be to fill current vacancies for state revenue collectors who can work more efficiently and quickly than private collection agency employees. Oregon cannot afford to lose more revenue, and certainly not at the level that House Bill 3023 would create. This bill would lock up debts that we could otherwise be working on. The state collection rates are better than PCAs in Oregon and in other states. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services recently released a study on collecting very delinquent child support payments in the state of Washington. The study showed that even when given easier accounts to collect, the state outperformed PCA collections. SEIU Local 503 strongly opposes this proposal.
Thank you, Mayor.
I have a question.
Yes, Senator, please.
And you probably, I'm the one who is spearheading, as you know, the collection of Oregon's debt. And it's a comment that you made that's puzzling to me. When we first started going after the uncollected debt, we were over $1 billion that was owed to the state of Oregon. And one of the comments that you made is that that the public sector does a better job of collecting. If that was accurate, and if I remember the age of the accounts that were on the books, some of them were a lot longer than 5 years. Some of them were 5 and 10 years old. How can you reconcile having over $1 billion that is owed to the state of Oregon by all sectors of the state and make that kind of a statement?
Well, Senator, I think that's a good point, and I think there's certainly the argument of do we compare apples to apples when we're talking about various collection rates. And I think there are two factors in this, one of which is are the resources there for our revenue collectors to adequately do the job? When hiring freezes and short staffing come into play, there certainly is an impact. And secondly, we haven't seen evidence that private collection agencies can do a better job than our state collectors can.
And also the resources.
Let's go ahead and have Jessica respond to that, and Ms. Manage, you can do that. Let's see, Representative Patrick has a question.
Well, I want to follow up.
I'm sorry, Senator.
She talked about hiring freezes. At the time when we started implementing this particular program, it was prior to NIF. Freezes. I implemented the first statute in 1999, which was no freeze. And I think that I need to correct you on that. We were not under hiring freeze. We were also not accelerating debt collection in the state of Oregon. And the if you're in the debt collection business, you know the sooner you can get the individual to respond to the debt, the better. You don't wait 1 year, 5 years, or 10 years in order to collect what is owing, because the longer that the time goes by, the more difficult it is to even find the individual. So I just needed to state that this was not during the freeze that this occurred. It occurred back in 1999.
And, Senator, I want to applaud your efforts, because I know in your work that you do to try to also fund services, trying to make sure this revenue comes back into our state hands and into our general fund where it belongs is very important and a key part of that. And I think there's been a lot of good work done from what our members tell me in terms of trying to decrease that time period and put a focus on this uncollected debt. And what our folks believe at this point is that a year is an adequate timeline for that work to happen in, and think that the changes that have been made in statute have been very productive thus far.
Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are you aware of the bill that passed that allows if private collection agents collect money for the state that they are able to recover the money that they expend in private collection agencies so the state doesn't lose money?
Yes.
So wouldn't that alleviate a lot of the arguments that you make in your letter, that the state's not going to be, that we're collecting the costs of private collection?
Well, Chair Butler, Representative Patridge, I'm not clear about whether or not and how, in fact, those savings would be passed on to the state, but I think that also the effectiveness of the collections is an important factor in that as well.
Follow up, please. Would you agree that the state gets the kind of low-hanging fruit, they get the easy collection pieces now, and the harder ones are pushed out to private collection agencies?
Chair Butler, Representative Patridge. I think that there was an effort in the initial changes of these laws to send out a lot of the outstanding debt to private collection agencies, and that there has been some work done to collect on those long outstanding debts. I think that our state employees work on a multitude and a huge spectrum of accounts, some that are delinquent and some that are not. So I do think that there are rates where we can compare and say that our members still work as efficiently, if not better.
So additional follow-up, Mr. Chair. Would you at least agree with me that the quicker you can collect the debt, the quicker you can act on the debt, the greater the possibility of collection?
Chair Butler, Representative Patridge, I would agree that getting the debt collected is probably everyone's goal in these efforts, and so that in order to do that, what's very important is having use of the most effective tools for collection, and sometimes that requires more than 90 days.
But that wasn't my question.
That is the question that he's asking. Please restate your question and please answer it.
My question is, isn't it true in debt collection that the sooner you act upon trying to collect the debt, the greater the opportunity you have to collect it?
My understanding is that's true, Chair Butler, Representative Patridge.
Mr. Chair, just a statement. I really feel like we had a public hearing previously. We talked about the costs to the state. The reason we held this bill and actually have it today is because we were waiting to see and vetting this issue with the Attorney General and the Governor's office in terms of how the state would not lose if they put things out to private collection agencies, that actually they would collect not only what was owed to the state, but the cost of those private collections. So I don't think we have things falling off the edge. Also, I think it's clear that, you know, and it's clear by the record that the quicker we act on these things, the greater the opportunity to collect the debt overall. And the state generally has collected. I mean, Senator Winters has spearheaded this effort for the last, well, this is the third session she's been doing it. We've started serving together, and I think that piece is clear, and that the state had taken the low-hanging fruit but didn't put efforts otherwise, and so consequently, you know, I think a lot of the testimony here, I guess I'm concerned about in light of the legislation that's passed and in light of the past practices of the collection act. So.
Well, I appreciate that, Representative Patridge. The concern I've got is, Ms. Stevens, your testimony is also that you got to compare apples to apples, and we've got the letter indicating, and your testimony today indicates that private collection agencies average only 2%, while the Department of Revenue has been averaging 8%. Coming back, we need to be able to compare the apples to apples, and if that 8% was all old debt and the 2% was all new debt or old debt, comparing the two, then that would be a different issue. But again, the State Department of Revenue has the ability to collect this fairly early on, fairly rapidly, and the long arm of the department is such that that's information that they can deal with, because they're dealing with people's tax returns as well as their employment returns, knowing where they're working, and have the ability to reach out and grab a hold of some of that. So I even though we have Ms. Browning's letter dated July 9th, which indicates those figures, the statistics which you've just given us, they don't give us any aging. And I've got a grave concern about this kind of journalism that says, here's an agency that does very poorly, and here's a private collection that does very, very poorly in comparison, because we still don't know about what kind of accounts they've been given. Indication is, from Senator Winter's previous work, is that the kinds of collections that have been turned over to the private collection accounts are the very oldest and the very toughest to collect, and yet they're collecting 2% of them, which obviously are the ones that have been turned down and written off. So 2% of anything is better than 0% of nothing. So with that, let's go ahead and have Ms. Hernandez and then Ms. Witt.
Well, my name is Frances Hernandez, and I am a revenue agent in the corporation section. I oppose this bill because I do not believe that the type of work that I'm engaged in that a private collection agency would be able to do. It is my job to collect from corporations, and through my efforts, I've collected nearly $4 million in the last year. And that means not just collection. It's not like a private collection of consumer debt where you call up somebody, you threaten them, and they have to either pay or you do some kind of enforcement activity. With the corporations, it requires a lot of negotiating with them, explaining to them the Oregon laws that require them to make these this debt, pay this debt. There's a lot of penalty and interest. There's a lot of skip search. Identifying a corporation, you need to identify where that corporation is, where that head office is. You know that the environment today, people, corporations break up, they sell off, they merge, they split, they sell off their subsidiaries. All of this information is required in order to reconcile the client's accounts with our accounts and to demonstrate to them that they owe this money. And these are people that I deal with, are corporation controllers and tax managers, and you need to speak their language. You need to explain to them in their language why they owe this debt, and they'll willingly pay the debt once you have explained it to them. These are numbers people. They need that kind of information before they will pay it.
So are you talking about the fact that you have a judgment against someone and the judgment
is
ineffective?
No judgments, not with corporations.
Okay, so there is no judgment. That isn't even being turned over to collection at this particular point.
No, it's not, because there's no need.
Well, there's no judgment. If there was a judgment against a corporation that doesn't exist, I guess you could boil it up and put spaghetti sauce on it, because it wouldn't be worth anything. So we're talking, we need to be able again to come back using Ms. Stevens' analysis and compare oranges and apples when we've got oranges in one basket and apple in another.
I just don't want to
get into this business that we collect this from corporations that no longer exist, because you're not collecting it from corporations that no longer exist. You're collecting it from the successors. And if you have the information about who the successors are, and that information is possessed solely by your department, then no one else, not even God himself, is going to be able to collect it, because you're the sole possessors of that information. Is that correct?
We are not the sole possessors of the information. It would be with the Secretary of State's office.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that you have to sort it out with all of those other folks and figure out who owes the debt at that particular point. No one else knows that information other than you folks, or how you sort it out, how you mitigate and go in and work it through and finally come up to, you know, who the successors are. And again, that's not being turned over to any third parties, because third parties wouldn't take it. They don't want them. There's no known parties that are the debtors. Senator,
I have a question.
Excuse me.
Ms. Hernandez, because I think I recall that you testified before my committee, and I think that the testimony at that public hearing was that corporations only paid $10. So are you telling this body that your effort is to go after the $10 that the corporations did not pay? Because in your open testimony, that's what you said, that the only thing the corporations paid were $10. Now, how much is this, how much effort is being made by the Department of Revenue to go after a $10 bill?
Senator Winters, I did not say they only pay $10. I said the minimum tax is $10. And many corporations pay $10. And yes, by law, I am required to collect whatever taxes they owe. And even though I think the administrative cost probably is not worth $10, that's the way the law is stated. And
then can you tell me then what is your average collections that you make with respect to corporations? Because I need to clear up this $10, because that was stated in public testimony by you. And so if you're going after the corporation, I want to know, on average, you said you collected $4 million. On average, what is the debt owed by corporations?
The debt owed by corporations, on average, I collect about $300,000 a month.
$300,000. How many corporations?
I cannot give you that number. I don't.
Then would you provide this committee with the information on? I would like to have it, because that statement was
average per corporation.
The average per corporation that is owed, so that we can get, you know, some feel of really.
I'm not sure that I'm. I will inquire whether I'm able to give that information through.
Mr. Chairman, I might clarify
Senator,
I would have to go through the line of...
I think Ms. Hernandez is appearing here today testifying on her own behalf and not on the department's behalf.
That's right. But, I would not be able to.
And I recognize that, but I also recognize that in a public forum, Ms. Hernandez made the statement on record that was the $10 was what corporations paid. And here she said she collected over $4 million. And whether we get it from the agency, but I would like to know on average what corporations owe.
I think that's information Ms. Hartchenko
can certainly. That's information Ms. Hartchenko can certainly, if she's listening, can give us. What is the average that's been collected by Mrs. Hernandez's unit, and how much corporations actually are paying?
Well, Senator Winters, the statements that I made at that time had nothing to do with this particular situation. It was a totally unrelated situation to this.
And Chair Butler and Senator Winters, I think I understand your point, and we'll work with the agency.
Thank
to get
you very much. Ms. Browning is here as well. So why don't we go on with your testimony, Ms. Webb.
Chairman Butler, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I cannot add very much to the testimony that has been already given. I can say that I checked the Department of Administrative Services website before I came, and there are several collection agencies listed as approved vendors on that website. Some of them are out-of-state agencies. Unless those employees of those agencies come into the state of Oregon to do their work, the collection agency that has its headquarters outside of Oregon is not subject to Oregon corporate tax, and their employees are not subject to Oregon corporate tax.
What you mean you're not able to collect from Hershey's in Pennsylvania because they don't have an office here?
Hershey's from Pennsylvania is not a private collection agency.
I see. Okay. Further questions?
Sure.
Thank you very much. We'll go ahead. We have Matt Marquis, but Matt, before we have you, we had some questions that came up. If you'll allow us, Susan Browning is here from the Department of Revenue. Wondering if Susan could maybe shed some light on her letter, which I understand in part may have been based upon some information from John Radford as well. So, Susan.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Susan Browning with the Oregon Department of Revenue. And Chair Butler, what specifically
your letter of July 9th, do you have it directed to John Radford?
Yes, Mr. Butler.
I'd like to get some cleared up, and that's with regard to the penultimate paragraph. That paragraph says. And again, it's directed to John Radford. I don't know whether members have this copy or not. I beg your pardon.
I don't have a copy.
Of it. If you would, please, so we've got that. Do you have it in your file?
I certainly do, Chair Butler. And I can just explain it while...
Yeah, I just want to make certain that we're comparing the right kinds of things, because you said that the State Department of Revenue has an average collection of 8% as compared to private collections with 2% average collection rate. I want to know that those are all the same age of accounts.
Chair Butler, members of the committee, I was responding to a letter that Mr. Radford had sent to you, Chair Butler, and I just wanted to clarify some information in it. In that, Mr. Radford had said that the Department of Revenue's average collection rate is 8%. And I wanted to clarify that 8% is for our other agency accounts program. And that's where the Department of Revenue serves, in essence, as a collection agency for the other state agencies. So that really is more similar to the role that private collection agencies play. Right now, state agencies have a choice. Under current law, once an account becomes 1 year with no payment, they can go send that account to a private collection agency, or they can send it to our collectors at the other agency accounts program. And we provide services, collection services, using the tools that this Department of Revenue has to collect those accounts. And the tools include like administrative warrant, the offset, access to the confidential information the Department of Revenue has. So that is very similar to the private collection agency role.
Let me just ask this question relative to that then, Susan. When the 8% is shown as a collection rate, I'm assuming that's 8% of some number, that's quantifiable. Is that forever? The other 92% is then turned over to collection agencies to see if they can collect another 2%?
Chair Butler, members of the committee, the way these numbers are calculated, it's more like a snapshot in time. If you were looking at the accounts receivable as of a date, and we usually follow the Legislative Fiscal Office report that Senator Winters had set up in Senate Bill 3509, as of July 1st, the accounts receivable is X amount of money, and how much of that has been collected by either private collection or by other agency accounts or by Department of Revenue, depending on what the accounts receivable would be. So if we have $100 on the books right now, say July 1st, we had $100 on the books in our accounts receivable beginning right then. We have our beginning balance, how much we've added, and how much we've collected over a period of time. And it's usually over a period of time.
Okay. Let's see. Representative Johnson was first in the queue here. Representative Johnson?
You said that the trigger point is a year old with no activity, that other agencies can either go to a private collection agency or into your agency's collection process. How often does it happen at the year anniversary? I'm trying to get a sense for when you're picking up other agency debt. How old is that debt?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, well, a clarification I'd like to make is it becomes eligible to, it's required to go to private collection or Department of Revenue after 1 year with no payment. That does not mean there has been no action. There may have been a series of notices. There may have been lots of contacts.
No collection success is what you meant.
No collection success.
Okay.
Right.
So then it becomes eligible
it's required.
Subbed out. Well, it's required.
Required.
To go to either to the Department of Revenue, or and is it at that point that the Department of Revenue continues to collect 8% better versus the 2% of the private industry?
Mr. Chair, yes, that's correct. It's 8% on the amount that's turned over from
after a year.
The state agencies. And one thing Representative Johnson asked is how old is it normally by the time it comes to the Department of Revenue?
Exactly.
The state our other agency accounts program is working very actively with the state agencies to get them to turn it over faster. And DAS actually can require the state agencies to turn it over very quickly by rule. But we are getting a lot of accounts less than 1 year, especially when agencies don't have collection staff. They really should not be doing anything with that. And we're encouraging them and been working with them. Just send it to the Department of Revenue, other agency accounts. Send it to private collection agencies. Get it moving. Don't
just leave it. The 8% is based upon all transmissions to the Department of Revenue. Versus the 2% in private, that is not necessarily which is just within a few months, because you can't assign it within just a few months to a private collection agency. Isn't that right?
Chair Butler, the state agencies can assign it to private collection agency
anytime.
At any
they
time.
Want. Okay.
Yes.
Do they do that?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Right. And Chair Butler, we have been encouraging them. The state agencies, if they don't want to use the Department of Revenue, they should send it to private. They should do something with it. They
right.
need to
exactly.
move along.
Exactly. Do we know anything about the age of those accounts when they were assigned?
Chair Butler, I would the process is getting better and better as DAS has been overseeing with the state agencies. There's a very active committee that meets, and there's a lot of interaction and talk about best practices and best collection work. And the state agencies they're kind of ranged, I would say, by the level of their expertise. We have the agencies such as Revenue that have professional collection staff, and then we have some who basically it's a 4 or 5 person office. Those offices are really encouraged to just send it right off to private collections, send it to other agency accounts. I was talking to our other agency accounts program manager prior to his retirement, and he was saying he thinks that the dates on the state agency accounts coming to coming to OAA and also probably to private are much less than a year, because they do recognize the need to move on it and are very responsive. They understand this is money owed to the state as well, and it's funding services.
Senator, follow up.
I want to go back to the activity time period, but also in your count, in your 8% count, is included in your 8% child support?
Representative Butler, Senator Winters, for our child support, the Department of Revenue provides only offset services where we take refunds. So that would not be included.
So it is not included in this 8% number, so it's exclusive of child support.
That's That's correct, Senator Winters.
What percentage of this 8% is also a higher ed or Department of Ed account?
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, I don't have the breakout by agency. I believe I can provide that for you if you'd like, what our collection rate is for the different state agencies.
State agencies.
Would that be helpful?
It would be, because part of this, Mr. Chair, yes, is that the intent when I started this in 99 was to accelerate the collection activity and to do something else. Some agencies do not have the capacity of doing collections. And to get them out of doing that and immediately turning their accounts over to revenue or to private, whatever, but just so that we're not bogging this process down and leaving accounts sitting on the books for years and years and years. The other thing I would like to know is how many or how much of those old accounts that were there, and there were a lot of old accounts that were 5 years and plus old, have now been, what's the percentage of collection of those with the Department of Revenue and the private collection agency? Because it's my understanding that the first, at first blush, the old accounts were given to the collection agencies, which meant that it required a lot more skip tracing and those kinds of activities in order to try to locate the individuals and try to get some of those accounts closed. If that's where the 2% is, then there is a disparity. There's a huge disparity, because if you're working on something that's 5 years old or 10 years old versus something that is less than a year, then, you know, it's huge. And I would like to know, you know, over time, just what the life of the accounts are, and if those percentages really are apples to apples, or oranges to oranges,
can you
to bananas. Can you get that information for us?
Chair Butler, Senator Winters, I'll work with Dallas.
DAS might be able to have.
Work on that. We can certainly provide the collection rate by other agency accounts, by state agency, and we can do that very easily for them, I'm pretty sure.
It'd be interesting to know what the dynamics are of each of these, and I still am looking for an aging. Because I know that the accounts can get pretty old before they go out to private. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Browning, I had a couple of questions, actually, maybe several. These numbers in terms of collection rates, has there been any updating of the numbers in the sense that my general feeling, hearing the testimony here today and hearing the testimony when this bill was previously before this committee, was is that there were a tremendous number of accounts that were transferred to collection agencies when this whole thing started a few years ago. And so that they might have received a variety of accounts that could have been all the way from 1 year old to many years in age. But has there been any sort of tracking of accounts on a yearly basis since then, so as we get accounts that are more current, that we can get to see what the collection rates are then?
Chair Butler, Senator Devlin, I'm looking to see if I have some of that information with me here. You're correct. As 3509, House Bill 3509 was implemented, there was a big push by all the state agencies to make sure they got they met the parameters of the one-year rule. So there was a lot of accounts, and John DeFray might have some of this, but from DAS, but there were a lot of accounts that came out to the private collection and also other agency accounts, the Department of Revenue. The rates I'm showing for private collection firms, and this is for what department, this is from DAS, like 2000, the percentage collected by the private collection firms was 1.8%, and that was on a total of $95 million out there for collection. And that was about the time the first dollar started coming through. 2001 is when judicial came in, and the balance that the private collection agencies had was $191 million. Their percentage was 1.4%. Now they have in 2002 $274 million out to collect, and their rate is 1.86. And I would anticipate that as they start working through that back, since judicial came on, they got a big backlog of accounts there. So you're right. It's still through the working through process.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'm frustrated because I can talk about the dollar amount, but unless you know the age of the account, it is not fair, nor is it accurate to compare what we do in state government with what we've turned over to collectors. And because if the age of the account is 5 to 10 years, that means that we sat on it for 4 to 9 years, and we've exhausted some remedies. And so the aging of the account does become important in this discussion.
It,
you know, I worked on this for 5 years, and you know, we keep talking about the broader number. What we need to do is to talk about getting accounts, getting them collected early on, so that we can get the revenue in the coffer, so they can help such agencies like mine in human services. You know, I was absolutely appalled when I came back into this building after being away for a lot of years to find that we had over $1 billion owed to the state of Oregon by citizens. And that $1 billion could go to fund seniors and others and people with disabilities and all these things that we're trying to find money for. And that's the reason for this push. The push is to try to get the dollars that are owed to us, the state, by the citizens. And so we're up here talking about the dollar amount rather than talking about aging of accounts and getting those accounts, and that was my motivation 4 years ago, getting them turned over as rapidly as possible so that we can get the revenue. Whether the agency turns them over expeditiously to revenue, that was a part of the piece. So that revenue could then use the tools that it has, and if revenue couldn't do it, they would turn it over to private collectors. But in any case, it appears that the collectors were down here at this level of the process, and the agencies have considered always have been at the high level. And until we get aging of accounts, you cannot do apples to apples or oranges to oranges or peanuts to walnuts.
It just doesn't work.
I just had to put that because I'm frustrated by this.
Mr. Chairman, I think it was actually, as you indicated, one of the things I'm trying to figure out here is because to be able to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges, we've got to get to a point where we're dealing with accounts that have been transferred only after a period of 1 year, rather than downloads of huge numbers of accounts that might be 5 or 10 years, 3, 5, 10 years in age. And particularly, I think the later add-on of the Judicial Department, which I think we got some indications in another committee meeting that the Judicial Department, until they turned over accounts, really didn't do too much in terms of collections.
You didn't have a professional staff. That's what.
The other questions I had, and I'm trying to, you've reviewed the timelines that are in the bill, haven't you?
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, yes, I have.
Okay. When it says in the bill that once an account is transferred from a state agency to you, that you have 6 months from the date of liquidation before you transfer it over, with, of course, there are exceptions that DAS can do in the bill to that. Is that 6 months interpreted to you as being from the date of the transfer from the other state agency, or is it from the date that the account originally was liquidated by the state agency?
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, there was some confusion about the original language in 3509. When does the original 1 year run? Is it from the agency's time, or is it when we Department of Revenue received it? We've been interpreting it from when it was the agency's time. So we've been giving ourselves the shorter period of time in other agency accounts to work in.
So in terms of this, then if an agency held on to the account for the original 90 days, depending upon how they define when the account is actually turned over to collection, you would then only have 90 days in which to collect it under your interpretation of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, that's correct.
Thank you, Ms. Browning. We do need that information relative to some of this aging because, unfortunately, as this has gone on, there appears to be that some misunderstanding of the fact that if there was $1 billion turned over to private collection and that we've only collected 2% of that amount, they're being held to a higher standard that perhaps $100 million has an 8% collection when it's fairly fresh accounts on the other side. So I'm anxious to get that correct information and get it available to the members of our committee. Senator or Representative Johnson is right.
Thank you. I also am very eager to see this information, and I have a particular interest in the student loans and how the collection rates are going on those. It seems to me that for a student to fail to pay back a loan deprives successor generations of students the ability to have that money. And I can understand that an accommodation might well be made while a student is in school. But I'm very interested in seeing the delinquent or the default rate on students who have benefited mightily from the generosity of the state of Oregon and then shirk that responsibility and fail to pay those back.
So we'll have a breakdown with higher education as well, is that right?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, just to clarify, to make sure I bring back the right information for you, I understand I'll be bringing back collection rate by other agency accounts of state accounts, including student loans, then also working with DAS and Dallas to figure out the age of accounts at private collection. We're talking about for all state agencies, aren't we, if we can?
Yes.
What the Department of Revenue has.
Any kinds of sub-information we can add, subset information, okay, relative to what agencies have been holding for longer periods.
Okay, so
before it's actually assigned is important information as well. Senator Winters.
Well, I'm glad we're having this discussion. As you know, this is one that's
been very passionate.
It's been a passionate one for me since 99. Mm-hmm. And piggybacking on Lieutenant Johnson, that jumped out at us when we started this in 99, particularly with education, and they were the most reluctant ones to come to the table. The other agencies, when we had our meetings, trying to get them all together focused on this particular issue, there was some concern of their involvement, and I hope that they are truly involved today in turning those accounts over, because I would agree with you. The individuals have benefited from the generosity of the state, and they should pay their debt. I just learned recently, talking about debt collection and even looking at the county system, one of my counties in collecting fees from the pro and prolees, one county is doing an outstanding job of getting those debt collection debt collected where other counties are not. And so I'm working with, I've talked to Representative Patridge to apply the pressure there. I think it's outrageous for us to sit here as not only as policymakers but as employees of our respective governmental entities to allow this practice to continue. While we sit and beg and grumble and crawl for dollars, and we ask the taxpayers to give us more, and we're sitting on some issues that we haven't done our own due diligence. And I think that we need to be held accountable for not going after the dollars that are owed to us. And so I'm glad that we're having this discussion. I'm glad that we are moving forward in the state to try to recoup those losses.
I think in each of the sessions from 99 forward, Senator, you've been instrumental in moving forward legislation which has significantly augmented collections of amounts due to state agencies, and I commend you for that. My angst is that we paint the fact that private industry has done such a poor job in relationship to the percentage, and I would say, you know, the other side of it is that we just have to be able to compare them with the job that's being done, and I'm not saying the job is being done poorly within the agencies right now, and I recognize the Department of Revenue has some very specific tools that you can use that maybe, as Ms. Stevens indicates in her testimony, that may not even be available to private industry, and that's fine too. I think everybody has their own set of tools. I don't expect a carpenter will come in and be able to do my plumbing. So in that regard, I'm anxious that we know what we're doing with regard to the successes and be able to fine-tune it, and I think that we've got some good legislation.
Mr. Chair, skip tracing is a skill, a very, very, very valuable skill, and although agencies have certain tools that they deal with, like they can get access to security numbers and some of the other things that maybe you can't do after the private sector, I do know that the private sector does yeoman's job in trying to get things collected if they have the accounts given to them in a timely fashion. When one considers that the age of some of those accounts, that were turned over to the private sector, and that, that these were accounts that had been sitting for years and years and years, which would have been considered dormant and uncollectible. And yet they were able to collect a percentage of those accounts. And I think that's worthy of note.
Senator Devlin is recognized.
Thank you. I just had a couple more small questions. Could you also give us data relative? You were talking also about student loans. And I don't understand entirely what kind of accounts this agency would have. But the process between the Department of Revenue and the Employment Department in terms of collection of collection activities, just give us some background on that.
Chair Butler, Senator Devlin, we do have representatives from Employment Department here, so they could speak if you wish, or otherwise I could just work up a summary and report back to you.
If you could just work up a summary, that would be helpful.
You just like an explanation of who collects what and how that works?
Yeah. I generally like to know what I'm voting on, actually.
Well, come on.
I'll say when the department comes, if they're going to come forward, because I want to know how they're going to collect those payments that they gave to individuals in the prison.
Another hot political potato.
The last question I have, actually, and it's a very minor question. If an account is turned over to a private collection agency, and you withhold from a future refund for a taxpayer, is the private collection agency due any compensation?
Chair Butler, Senator Devlin, the private collection agency does not gain a completion fee on the amount that's offset. The amount, the 2% collection rate, does reflect, however, the offset payments the department has taken. So the 2% does reflect the fact that we continue to offset accounts that are a private collection agency.
It'd be interesting to know how much that is in relationship to the 2% that is being collected or attributed to being collected by them.
And we do have those figures, Chair Butler. So you'd like a breakdown of how much is from offset of refunds?
Even though they're not receiving any benefit, that is any financial remuneration, it's still an account that you get the long arm of the law that says, hey, wait a minute, they're owed a refund rather than having us turn it over to them and then letting private collection try and capture it. You're capturing it, in effect, on behalf of the agency.
Chair Butler, I'm sure perhaps I didn't convey this clearly, but if I have an account and I turn it over to Collection Agency A, and that debtor then has a tax refund come through, mm-hmm. the Department of Revenue will go ahead and offset that tax
refund. But
they're not receiving
any benefit, but it is within their 2%?
It's within their 2% collection rate, but they don't receive the commission fee because the department's taking all the action
exactly.
on it.
Exactly.
But the collection...
And what I'm asking is it'd be interesting to know how much of the 2% being collected is being collected in that fashion.
Okay.
If they're being given the credit and the 2% of having collected it, interesting to know how much that is. We do have Elizabeth Martin May here as well, and I'm going to ask Elizabeth to come forward.
I apologize. I did not, previous to this hearing, to today's scheduled hearing, have the July 11 memo indicating, this is from Dallas, to our committee, indicating how much the potential costs and the breakdown of those costs were. Elizabeth,
Chair Butler and committee members, I'm Elizabeth Martin Mahar with the Legislative Revenue Office. So with House Bill 3023A, I mean, all I have really done with this is discuss with Susan Browning as well as John with the Department of Revenue, and I've gone through various calculations and stuff that John has gone through in order to arrive at the estimate here of basically if the Department of Revenue accounts were not exempt from this rulemaking. I mean, there is still a rulemaking authority given to DES to exempt certain accounts, and I've heard various things, but I don't know exactly what accounts would be exempt. So if the Department of Revenue accounts were not exempt, if state agencies were still not allowed to transfer accounts to the Department of Revenue's other agency accounts, then there could potentially be this loss in revenue like we've been talking about or you've been discussing, going from the 8% to a 2% collection rate. And then what has been totaled here is roughly $69 million would be lost in the 2003-05 biennium and $71 million in 2005-07 biennium.
Any indication from Department of Administrative Services that they're not going to exempt those payments?
Chair Butler, I haven't heard anything from the Department of Administrative Services myself, okay? So all I've heard is what Department of Revenue has said as far as discussions, but I don't know. I've heard nothing in writing or personally to me.
Ms. St. Patrick?
A couple questions, a little bit, if the chair will indulge me. One, is your analysis based upon a straight line moving from 8% to 2%?
Representative Patridge, that's correct. Yeah, I mean, it's just looking at that difference in the collection rates. Now, I mean, I certainly think from the discussions that you're having, it would be great to set up a more sophisticated model where you could look at the distribution, look at the time period in which different accounts, you know, you're definitely going to see a falling rate, you know, in collections from, you know, the time period in which you have those accounts. And I would think that it would be interesting to be able to separate out the private collection accounts, Department of Revenue accounts, set it up by the time period in which, you know, each of them have held the accounts. I mean, I don't think you have to look at it in terms of, you know, one account, you know, following it through. I think you should look at it in terms of private collection accounts. You know, what's their collection rate for 60 days? What's their collection rate for 90 days? You know, 180, whatever.
And so you'd agree, too, that we're comparing not necessarily apples to apples. If the department's collecting at 8% and the private collection agency is collecting at 2% based upon the history of the accounts currently.
Representative Patrick, I really would have to see more the background of the data. I mean, obviously the Department of Revenue has newer data because you already have a restriction on them to have to turn them over within a year. So we know that they have pretty fresh accounts, but the private collection agencies, I don't know their distribution of accounts. I mean, I don't know what other accounts they have besides the state accounts. I mean, obviously, they're getting some accounts from the state, but they've got a lot of other accounts, too, that I'm sure is part of the collection rate.
I guess one other additional question. I noticed that you carved out in your memorandum, at least, on the analysis of this. Doesn't the department have the ability to fully mitigate within the grounds of this legislation any potential loss because they can carve out the particular accounts and create exceptions? So it would be up to the department to mitigate the damage.
Yeah, Representative
Patridge. If there really was damage.
Representative Patridge, you know, there is a lot of authority given to DAS on their rulemaking. I mean, there's no question about that. It's just a matter of whether or not you as legislators want to give that authority to DAS to carve out those various exemptions.
Mr. Chair, I guess my concern is if we're just doing a straight line trend analysis and collecting at 2% versus collecting at 8%, you know, and even the SEIU representing the people who are there said that the earlier you get on these collection efforts, the more likely you are to succeed. I don't think that that's a fair analysis, and I believe that the bill has the ability to provide the flexibility for the Department of Administrative Services should they see something begin to fall off to provide an exemption in order to make sure collection efforts happen in at least the same or similar fashion that they're happening now so that we don't have loss. So I guess I don't see this as an issue. If we're just going to go by the department's number and go 2% versus 8%, I think that that's an unfair analysis. If we did that, lots of the other things we do, we could never pass a piece of legislation in this building. So,
Elizabeth? Chair Butler, all I would say is that I think you clearly have two effects that are going on, one being the age of the accounts, but the second being the Department of Revenue tools that private collection agencies may not have. So I think you really need to separate those out, and the best way that you can do that is by trying to set up some kind of distribution of accounts, their collection rates by the time period for private agencies versus Department of Revenue, and see if that doesn't show a little better comparison than between apples and apples and oranges and oranges.
Excellent. Thank you. Other questions for Elizabeth? Thank you, Elizabeth. We do have some other folks in the room from some of the agencies, but I'm going to go ahead and call up
Mr. Chair, I do have one question, and the agencies are here that they could probably answer, and that is, if you can provide me with what percentage of the accounts that we're collecting are actually due to errors that were made by the agency. And what I'm getting at is that, for example, where we have overpayments with, like in human services, what percentage of that is being collected? The same is true when I read just recently the errors that were made in the employment division. Somehow that someone's going to have to collect those dollars that were made. So when we're talking collection, what percentage of them are errors made by staff or our own agency?
Senator, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the agencies and the other interested parties to stay behind at 10 o'clock. I'm going to end this hearing at 10 o'clock. And what we'll do is we'll carry over House Bill 3023A until tomorrow. And we want to post it, for tomorrow and later on in the week, and we'll take it up one day at a time. But what I'd like to do at 10 o'clock is to have these agency folks meet with, I'm going to appoint a committee of two, one from the House, one from the Senate. And Senator Winters, I'm going to appoint you to be on that committee to do just a little background study here with Dallas's staff to help us, and we'll meet immediately following at 10 o'clock, if that's all right. Senator Devlin, you want to be on the committee? I can't appoint you too.
No, Mr. Chairman, but I would request actually that rather than setting the bill over till tomorrow, that you set it over till Wednesday, if that's possible.
I can certainly do that.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's plan to do that, and we'll do that by action at the end of this hearing. But if that's Senator Winters, will that be acceptable to you? You want to serve on an ad hoc committee to give the agency some direction, and anyone else that's interested, it'll be off the tape, but to give you some direction to come back, what to bring us to, so that we'll have a better feel. And because Senator Winters has been so actively involved in this from day one, I'd like to have the benefit of her years of experience in the collection issues. With that, Matt Marquis had signed up, and I'm going to invite Matt to come forward on behalf of the Oregon Collection Association.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Matt Marquis, representing the Oregon Collectors Association. Just in response to some of the concerns raised here today, I do want to state the time frame in the bill, current law, and the changes to the law. They're all based on the same start point of the date of last payment. So when you're talking about an account that's a year old, it could be several years old past the delinquency stage, because there could have been several small payments made. So lots of the accounts that are turned over to a private collection agency often are years old rather than months old, because it is based on the date of last payment. As far as the aging of accounts, when we worked with Senator Winters on House Bill 3509 and set up all of the requirements on reporting liquidated and delinquent accounts to legislative fiscal, in the first draft of that bill, age of accounts was listed. So at this point, we would have been able to tell what the age of the accounts were that were going to private collection agencies, what they were currently with different state agencies and Department of Revenue. At that time, because of the fiscal on determining what the age of accounts were, we had to take that out of the legislation. It was several million dollars worth of computer programming, is what we were told at the time, to determine what the age of accounts were within the state, because every state agency kept track of it somewhat different or didn't know. As for the 2% collection rate, it is low. There's two things that would bring that up dramatically. One of them would be the time frame in which the accounts are turned over to a private collection agency. The faster they get turned over, the more likelihood of collection. The other thing is the ability to sue on those accounts. Currently, we don't have the ability to sue right now. We've been working with the Attorney General's office, and they have agreed to allow us to sue on these accounts that are in small claims. So we're currently working with the Department of Administrative Services and the Attorney General's office to develop rules in which would allow us to sue on these accounts. That will have another dramatic effect on the increase in the collection rate. I can tell you that last week I had several inquiries from the Senate on what private collection agencies average on collections. And so I made some calls last week, and I can tell you that right now, with the economy being down, when you look at a private collection agency and everything that they collect, and that's all government account, all private account, everything that's within their means of collections, right now they're collecting between 15 and 20% of what's assigned to them. Now, I can't say that they'd ever get that high with the state accounts, because I don't know. But a year ago, that 15 to 20% rate was as high as 25 to 30% when the economy was in better shape. I do want to touch just to clarify, when an account is with a private collection agency, it still can be with the Department of Revenue's offset program. There's no prohibition to do so, and in fact, it specifically says in statute currently that, that the account can be in both spots.
Is that true with all accounts, Matt?
With all state accounts.
With all the state accounts, so from every agency then. So the long arm of the Department of Revenue still can collect on any of the offsets.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Does that preclude them from actively pursuing an account if they decide to do so?
Mr. Chair, I believe it only. I believe that their other agency program has two separate programs within it: a full collections department and then their offset program. And I when it is with a private collection agency, they're only allowed to put it into the offset program, is my understanding.
I see. Okay.
With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Specific questions, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Marquis. Is there a scenario whereby putting debt in the hands of private collection agencies could jeopardize any federal funds coming to the state?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, if you look on the bill, and under current statute, there's a whole list of exemptions, one of which would result in the loss of federal funds if assigned, and that's on line 20 of the second page of the bill. And that was something when we developed House Bill 3509 back in 1999, we came up with a list of exemptions that would allow state agencies the discretion of turning over certain types of accounts, because there are types of accounts that you don't want to turn over. There, the other things on the list, just for example, is when a debtor is in prison or something of that such. And these were exemptions set up so that the state agency, if they felt that these accounts should not be turned over to a private collection agency, then they would not have to do so.
Senator Devlin?
Thank you. Mr. Marquis, if an account is turned over to the Department of Revenue from another state agency under this bill, if the Department of Revenue makes a collection but not a complete collection on the amount that's past due, does the timeline under this bill, as you're understanding it, start over again in terms of, because the account has then actually received a payment?
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, yeah, that is correct. And that would be correct for the state agency as well before they turn the account over to the Department of Revenue. Any time a payment is received by a state agency, Department of Revenue, whoever it may be within state government, that time frame would then start over. So currently, right now, it is a one-year time frame. If they collected a nickel, 5 cents, it, you know, 300 days into the account, that time frame would then start over again.
So it's 1 year without any collection success. Doesn't express any amount of efforts that have been expended. It's just without collection success.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. It's also from the date of liquidation after the account has been through some sort of appeals process to become liquidated.
Matt, I get a little bit anxious about the fact that there might be accounts that only the Department of Revenue can work because you may not have the correct successor debtor. And I believe it was from Ms. Hernandez's testimony, are those accounts that you folks might be interested in, not knowing who the successor debtor is?
Mr. Chair, I can't speak specifically for all private collection agencies. I'm not sure exactly. I can tell you that Department of Revenue has been working with Department of Administrative Services, and it's my understanding that Department of Revenue would be exempt from these time provisions in the bill. Currently, they abide by the one-year time frame, and I don't think there's been any problems with the one-year time frame with Department of Revenue that I'm aware of. And I do know that we have private collection agencies that are collecting for the tax programs for the Department of Revenue currently.
Okay. My angst was that if there's some through consolidations and other kinds of things, that if you've got a corporation which may be a debtor and may no longer be in existence, and yet some of its assets may have been spun off, net assets, if in fact the Department of Revenue can collect those, first of all, can identify them. It's my understanding that that's the best place to have them collected, because those are the folks who have been able to track and have somewhat the long arm of the collection. The other thing that I am a little bit concerned about, Ms., was with regard to Ms. Webb's testimony. I may have gotten mixed up. She may have been talking about collection companies as opposed to corporate
businesses doing business in the state of Oregon. Is there a problem with foreign collection companies? In other words, when we're dealing with a collection company that might have some nexus but no residency in the state of Oregon, do you have problems if they find an account or a debtor in the state of New York and they go collect it in the state of New York? There's no problem transmitting that money back against the debt that's owed in the state of Oregon.
Mr. Chair, no, there wouldn't. I think I don't want to speak for her, but I believe what she was referring to was currently Department of Administrative Services goes out for bid for private collection agencies. There's a list of 8 or 9, maybe 10 private collection agency firms on that list now. Several of them are from out of state that came into the state of Oregon to bid on that process. So there are out-of-state collection agencies working on behalf of the state of Oregon to collect some of these debts.
I see.
It would be great if they were all in-state, but in today's world, that just doesn't happen.
But when they bid on a contract in Oregon, and win that bid, then they become there's a nexus to the state of Oregon, and they are then subject to payment of income taxes and other responsibilities in the state of Oregon, is my understanding.
Mr. Chair, I'm not an income tax expert. I don't know if they're liable to pay what types of income tax they're required to pay to the state of Oregon when they work here. They do have to become licensed and registered collection agencies to work on accounts that were based out of the Oregon.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you. I'm just reflecting back on Senator Winter's comments about collection and setting this bill aside for a moment and thinking about how much debt is owed to Oregonians or owed to the state. What other tools would be reasonable tools to have in either the toolbox of the agencies or in the toolbox of private collectors to help facilitate collection? What I'm thinking about is maybe something as draconian as suspension of driving privileges or some way to really put out the message that the state of Oregon is serious about collecting these, regardless of the outcome of this bill.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I believe there's a whole variety of tools in support enforcement to talk about your driving license. I believe that they have that ability on a support enforcement case to suspend driver's license. I don't know how well that's working for them. Those are accounts that we don't have direct involvement with at this point. One of the biggest tools for the private industry right now, as well as state agencies, is the ability to sue on some of these accounts. Right now, our Attorney General kind of has a buffer zone of they don't sue on a lot of things under $5,000. A lot of these accounts are $5,000 and under, small claims types cases. So being able to sue on these accounts will then give you judgment enforcement of being able to lien people's property in certain circumstances and issue garnishments, which is a big one. For a private collection agency, currently, when you do a small claims case, with less than 30 days, you can end up with some sort of judgment and then be able to issue garnishments off of that. So it's a fairly quick process to receive funds on some of these accounts.
Senator Winters, next Senator
Mr. Markey, just to follow up on the question of the companies that are out of state, doesn't the Collection Association, as a part of a national network?
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, yes, that's correct.
So the ability of the collector or the company, whether they're in-state or out-state, have nexus in most cases to all 50 states, plus in some cases international?
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, that's correct.
And their ability to either transfer or to work with other companies in other states if they find that that's where the person is, that they can go after them?
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, that's correct. And, in fact, we have agencies that will transfer accounts within the state even. And we have several in-state collection agencies here that are quite large that collect all over the state and they're all over the country as well.
I raise that because I am familiar with the operation of the collection organization, and they are nationwide, and they do have multiple agencies inside the state. And if they can locate a person, let's say it's in Georgia, you know, they'll have some agency in Georgia go after the person, and that's part of the ability that they have. That, you know, you're operating outside of the boundaries of the state of Oregon, and I don't know whether the agency has those kinds of abilities to go to other states, whether we have reciprocity between states, and only the agency can tell me if we do, in order to collect debt, like if you find somebody in California, for example, whether we've got some kind of relationship with California to go after the person. So.
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, I'd be surprised if we have some sort of our state agencies have some sort of association with other states. I know that the Secretary of State's office, when they did their audit report several years ago, looked at just different state agencies and found that we are paying a lot of vendors when from one state agency when they owe another state agency money.
Senator Devlin, did you have a question? Okay. With that, we're going to go ahead, and I think probably the next available day to hear this will be a public hearing and work session, possible work session scheduled on House Bill 3023A, and we're going to do that for Thursday at this particular point, and we'll have that show noted. With that, we will close this public hearing. Thank you.